For the next several moments, I just want to draw our attention to our sermon theme that we've been looking at over the past several weeks, series entitled Everything. This taken from the theme verse of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Would you read this with me? We've been reading this every week together as a church. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read together. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything, that is the theme. How do we intend to live our lives differently, knowing that when it comes to life and godliness, God has given us everything. The intention of 2 Peter, the writer there, is to encourage the Christians who were living in some difficult and challenging times to live in a clear view that God has prepped them and prepared them to live life by giving them everything. Peter was confident in sharing with them that even though times were challenging, they were not insurmountable challenges. God, through his divine power, his Holy Spirit, has given us everything to live and everything to live forevermore. This is the promise of God, and God always comes through on his promises. This is the faith that we gladly abide in, even as we encounter challenges and setbacks in our own world. Gabriel and other graduates, you need to know this, that there are challenges that are ahead of you, that you will be far from home. You'll be undertaking college-level courses. You will meet new people. Most will be great, but some will betray you. Paying for college has its own set of challenges. And all of this comes as you try to determine what your future will look like. What will my career be? Where am I going to work? Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I highlight this to tell you that you should be confident that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness to the knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and goodness. Now, it's been during this sermon time over the past several weeks, we have considered the implications of having this gift that God has endowed us, given us everything to secure us in life and godliness and moving forward, that our future is secured in something otherworldly. This is not our home. This is a residing place where we're here temporarily. Our permanent dwelling place is something much more magnificent and spectacular, and that is to come. And so we live knowing that future is secure. But while we're here and while we're putting our faith in God, the God who has showered us with promise and showered us with gifts, the writer in 2 Peter goes on to say, I want you to enrich your faith by adding some virtues and putting these virtues and living out these virtues in your life. He says, I want you to add to your faith in purview, again, in view of this gift that God has given you everything and that your future is secure. Add to your faith goodness. We talked about goodness several weeks ago, and we talked about this woman by the name of Dorcas, who was a wonderful Christian woman in the book of Acts chapter 9, and how she displayed goodness throughout the local body there. And that's something that we should demonstrate here in the local body, here in our local community. It says, then add to your goodness knowledge. We looked at a character in the Bible in 2 Kings by the name of Huldah. She was a prophetess, and she was an advisor to King Josiah. They found the book of the law, and they took the book of the law to her, and she read it and interpreted and then told Josiah what the Lord said to do in response to finding the law. And Josiah became one of the greatest reformers in Israel, restoring its prominence and its spiritual life, the Passover and other religious activities in the life of Israel. So add to your goodness knowledge, and then add to your knowledge self-control. We looked at a guy by the name of David who was being pursued by King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And David, even though he had an opportunity to kill Saul, employed some self-control rather than feeding into his gratification there. Self-control, we looked at David as an example of self-control. Then add to your self-control endurance. We looked at the prophet Jeremiah and all the stuff that he went through to preach the word of God. He was beat up. He was put in prison. He was threatened. They slapped him. They ridiculed him. They put him on public display. But he endured. He persevered, knowing that the Holy Spirit, he said, I have a fire within my bones that I am weary of trying to contain. I just can't do that. And then add to your endurance godliness. We talked about that last week. Godliness means loyalty. Godliness means staying in the fight, even when the deep challenges come. We looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That those were the Babylonian names, but it's Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They're Hebrew names. And even when threatened with death, being thrown in a fiery furnace, they stay loyal to God. These are virtues that we want to add to our faith and add to our lives to enrich our lives here on earth. But then the text says, add to your godliness mutual affection. That's where we'll be for a few moments today. Mutual affection, rendered in two English words, actually comes from one Greek word that's made up of two Greek words. If you look at that word up there, you might even be able, if you don't read Greek, you might look at that and say, I kind of know what that says. That's a Greek word, Philadelphia. Those are the Greek letters that spell Philadelphia. It's made up of two words, philia, which means love, one of the words for love, and then adelphia, which is like sibling or brother. And so Philadelphia literally means city or means brotherly love. You know about Philadelphia, the city in Pennsylvania, which is nicknamed the city of brotherly love, but it's actually named brotherly love. That's what Philadelphia means. Now, don't get it twisted. Philadelphia can be an interesting place. Philadelphia Eagles playing the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, Michael Irving, gets injured on the field with a significant neck injury, and he's laying motionless on the turf. Now, Michael Irving put in some work against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they didn't like him because he was really good. He's laying on the field motionless. What does the city of brotherly love do? They booed him. They booed him while he was on and out. Now, if that ain't bad, Santa Claus came into the stadium at a Philadelphia Eagles game, and they booed Santa Claus. Now, don't get it twisted. That's what Philadelphia is known for. But its origins is much closer to what this word means. William Penn, who founded the Pennsylvania colony, was given a charter to take over Pennsylvania. There were people living in Pennsylvania. There were Native Americans living in Pennsylvania, and he was given orders and the rights to just take it outright. You just get rid of all of the natives, and the land is yours. But he refused to do that. He went to the natives, and he actually paid them money for the land. And after they received them, they began to show kindness towards one another. And William Penn said, you know, this land area, this city can only be named something that demonstrates and that explains the kindness that we have showed toward one another. Philadelphia, brotherly love. Think back over the course of your life. Who are your, your bros or your sisters or your brother from another mother, your sister with another mister, your ride or die, or your BFF. Who do you think of when it comes to mutual affection, Philadelphia? Who comes to mind? Is it that friend you knew would do anything for you, and you would do anything for them? You were inseparable. When people saw your friendship, they knew it was something special. David just spoke about that, about his son Gabriel and his friends. That's Philadelphia. I mean, I could not have preached the sermon any better than what you described in Gabriel and his friends. There's two characters in the Bible that I want to bring our attention to that really exemplifies mutual affection. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18, We read this, chapter 18. It says, when David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan was the son of Saul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house, speaking of David. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself to the of the robe and that he was wearing and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. As a result, Saul set him set him over the army, and all the people, even the servants of Saul, approved. Now, this was prior to Saul growing jealous and enraged with David. Nothing out of the ordinary that a family member, Jonathan, would like or take a liking to David. But after things began to turn and Saul felt threatened by David, he gave orders to his family and his servants to kill David, including Jonathan. This is 1 Samuel 19, chapter 19, verse number 1. It says, Saul spoke with his son Jonathan and with all his servants about killing David. But Saul's son Jonathan took great delight in David. And Jonathan told David, my father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore, be on guard tomorrow morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you. And that set off a set of events that over the course of their life as friends, as brothers, even not blood brothers, but brothers, this mutual affection, this Philadelphia, he would spend time protecting David, even to his father's ire. Saul didn't like that his son took a liking to Jonathan and even called Jonathan a traitor. When you have time, go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 20, and you'll learn of the tender and affectionate relationship Jonathan and David had with each other. This relationship caused strife again between Jonathan and father, but that bond of friends, that brotherly love was so strong. Now understand this, Jonathan presumed to be the oldest child. That meant he was in line to become king. He forewent that for his friendship, his brotherly love with David. That is Philadelphia. And Jonathan's actions of loyalty and love toward David would be returned in so many ways, but perhaps the most prominent way was the way David honored Jonathan after Jonathan died. Jonathan, his two brothers, were killed in battle by the Philistines, and then Saul, when he saw that his sons were killed, he took his own life. Now David is going to be anointed king. He is the king, but there is still the household of Saul that include his other kids and descendants. And as a king, you want to put down any threat. Being in a monarchical system, it could get bloody. It could get violent. And what conventional wisdom would say is that, David, you need to go wipe out and kill every one of Saul's household. Later on, we learned that David, and he did get into some conflicts with some of Saul's household, and some of them were killed. But he asked a question later on and said, hey, is there anyone left of Saul's household to whom I can show kindness to Jonathan? There was such a one, a guy by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. When they learned that Jonathan was killed in battle, Mephibosheth's nurse was taking him and running with him and fell. He was 5 years old, and he became crippled. And he was crippled then for the rest of his life. And being a cripple in ancient society was no fun. There wasn't all the medical technology that we have and all the accommodations that you have here in 21st century America. Being a cripple was a death sentence. But when David learned that Jonathan's son was alive, he made a decree that as long as he lives, he will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth was so overwhelmed by David's love and David's care. He said, why would you want to deal with a dog like me? David showed him love because Philadelphia, that relationship he had with Jonathan. It's why we preach so much about relationship, having connection with one another. Here we note that Jonathan and David's mutual affection was unbothered by the circumstances in life or even distance in time. It's why we preach in this church so much about relationship, establishing friendships. The beauty of the body of Christ is that even though many of us have grown up in different cities and areas of the country, we have different family lines, different pigmentation in our skin, and different sports fan loyalties, and we're different ages, and we come from different generations, and we have so many things that are not alike, yet we are bound by this idea called mutual affection, Philadelphia. Growing up in Buffalo, I had a core group of friends. It was at church where this got started, the Linwood Church of Christ, and it started first in youth group. We would meet in Sunday school classes on Sundays and other church events. We would go on yearly events. There was a core group of us, Stacy Davis, one of my best friends, Devon Hardy, and Sonia Cornelius, and Terrace Finney, and Kim Dozier, and Donnie Richburg, and some others. And in time, many of us moved away from Buffalo. Stacy, with whom I was really close, he moved to Greenville, South Carolina. At the same year that my oldest daughter was born, his son was born. His son was born with spinal bifida, disease with the curvature of the spine, and it didn't form properly. And so his son had issues with fluid on his brain constantly. And it just, man, he had some struggles. His name was Stacy Jr., and he had a very rough medical journey. At age 7, tragically, he died. He passed away. And because of this Philadelphia that we shared in youth group and youth conference and church growing up, you best know that the day we all heard, we all got in our cars, we drove to Greenville, South Carolina to be with our brother. Because Philadelphia is not confined by time, distance, or challenge. Some of you have relationships with some folks in your life that you just know, that is my ride or die. That's the one I know that if I'm going through something, they are going to be there for me. So Gabriel, I pray that you would listen deeply to the words that your dad said to you about the guys that you have grown up with and become your best friends. It was so encouraging to go to his open house last week and see that instead of Gabriel just having an open house all by himself, he and 3-4 other friends had their open house together. What better way to celebrate this great accomplishment than to celebrate with your bros? And you'll see that throughout life, there will be more instances for you to celebrate. It's likely that you'll be in each other's weddings, and you'll communicate with each other at the birth of your children, and all these milestones and moments in life you share together. Why? Philadelphia. If ever there was a call for us to invoke a virtue like Philadelphia, it would be right now. You know that I preach about this all the time. There's so much in this world that is competing to get us to be at each other's throats. And in spite of that, God is calling us Philadelphia. Philadelphia, mutual love, mutual affection. There's some folks in here that have become so important in my life. And I'm so glad that I'm able to be able to call on you. You are able to call on me. I pray that everyone in here has that person. May not be in this room. It may be someone across the way. It may be someone in another city. May be someone in an adjacent neighborhood. For God's sake, you need to find you a David Jonathan. You need to hold on to that. You need to pray God's protection. You pray that God builds a wall around that relationship. So that if you have a Saul in your life, you know that there's a Jonathan that will protect you. You know that if something happens to you, there's a David that's going to take care of you. Make sure that they're arrow. Is that all right, church? Pray that you find a David or a Jonathan or a Davina and Joanne. I don't know what the feminine of those are. This isn't about male or female. This is about sisters and brothers. This is about Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not just for men. Philadelphia is for men, women, children, teens. Get these people in your life. And when they get there, you pray that God. We're going to sing an invitation song. It's a song that's familiar perhaps to many of us. It's a simple song that we reject this notion that we have to spend all of our time and energy finding ways to divide, finding ways to fight, finding ways to separate, finding ways to draw a line and say, you stand over there and I will stand over here. And even though there's a lot of things that we can do better together, I'd rather just stand over here in isolation. That is a message that is being preached by the world. And I'm telling y'all, church, we need to reject that garbage. We need to say, you are my brother, you are my sister, and we will work together. We will stand together. Yes, we have some differences. Yes, that creates some challenges, but those challenges are not insurmountable, especially when we think that God has done so much to love us in spite of our rebellion to him. We can deal with some of our differences. We can deal with some of our disagreements. We can deal with some of our conflicts because God ultimately displayed that. So will you join me in singing this song as a declaration that we would rather stand with one another than listen to the echoes in the world that says, nah, man, y'all don't like each other. Get away from each other. Won't do it. Won't do it. Won't do it. I reject it. This is an invitation for us to live Philadelphia. Here in this church and extend Philadelphia into this community. I pray that would be our goal as we add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, and mutual affection. Let's sing this song. If there's anything that we can do for you, pray for you, you feel free to come forward and the elders will share a time of prayer with you. Let's sing together.